And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for the debut episode of Game Plan. Hope you guys are excited as I am. We got some fun things going to happen tonight. Without further ado, tell you a little bit about what's going to happen, what's actually going on, so that you guys are all caught up. I am Jeremy the Impact York. That is the tentative theme. If you guys think we should have a... If you think we should have a different theme, definitely let us know. But definitely... Here's what's going to happen. So, like I said, I'm Jeremy the Impact York from Impact Media. If you did not know me previously, this is what we're going to do with Game Plan. The first half of the show, about 30 minutes or so, we're going to talk about the Georgia State Panthers. All the way out there in Pantherville, Turner Field area there. You guys all know that. The old Turner Field. It's now Petit Field. GSU Stadium. You guys know where it is. And then the second half, the back 30 minutes or so, we're going to talk about Owltown out in Kennesaw, the KSU Owls. We're going to talk some football with both. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have guests from time to time. Like later on tonight in the KSU portion of the show, we'll be talking to radio announcer Brandon Joseph. You can find him, you might know him from 680 The Fan, from 1230 The Fan 2, and from the KSU Radio Network. Brandon's a real good dude. We're going to have him on to talk some Owls. But, overall, this should be a lot of fun. So, I hope you guys definitely enjoy it. I'm going to do my best to entertain you guys for the next hour. And without further ado, let's get right into... some Georgia State Panthers. And, of course, we're going to talk about that amazingly awesome, incredible win they had over the weekend. You guys all watched it. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, look, most of our games, let's see, are talking about Georgia State in this reference. Most of our games, you can go to ESPN.com. On the home page, towards about a third of the way down the page on the right, on the over from the middle, but on the right side there, it's called the Watch app. What you do is you click on that, you click on replays and rebroadcasts or something like that. It takes you to a whole list of games. 99 times out of 100, we're on that list, unless we were on Peachtree TV, unless we were on one of these other stations, which I usually tell you about. But you can watch all the games. I think you can go back and watch the previous games anyway, but I know you can watch at least the current week's games. It's one of the easiest ways to watch the games. You can't be there live because I understand not everybody went to Coastal Carolina. But I do want to talk a little bit about the game versus Coastal Carolina. The Chanticleers, I believe, was the final way that I heard it said. I don't really know. I've asked a couple people up that way even, and they all said it different ways. So, just going to call them Coastal Carolina. Could call them C-Cubed. We'll go C-Cubed. Now, a little bit about C-Cubed. They're relatively new to the Sun Belt. And relatively new. I mean, they are brand new. Pretty good emerging program. The normal coach they had for, I believe, their entire tenure, very successful, very good. He had to take a medical leave back in June, I believe. So the new coach took over. I had his name in front of me, and I apologize. We will. I'll try to find that somewhere. But yeah, so he took over. So it's been a little bit different program during all this. That kind of stuff happens. It's quite all right. But what that meant for us was a win, because we were able to pick up that victory 27-21. We had to hang on. Now, I'm not going to toot our horn and say we dominated in all four quarters. No, we had some times where I got a little worried. I had faith in our guys to pull it out, and they did. But, yeah, we had to hang on for that one, because Coastal Carolina, they can fling the ball when they want to, or when they really have to. Some things about the game. I did take notes during this game. Was not able to live tweet it. Of course, you had Glenn Smith, who started the game with by far one of the best ways you can ever start a game. And of course, that is by returning the opening kickoff for a touchdown. It's a fantastic run. I'm not sure he really got touched all that much. And then it seems like our kickoff specialist, Barry Brown, he was on. I like that most of his kicks, a good majority of them, were going to at least the goal line. A few of them were deeper into there. Barry, keep doing the good work there. I appreciate it, and I know everybody else does as well. Kicking has been an issue over the years for us here and there, especially once Will Lutz left for the NFL. And he's doing spectacular right now for the Saints, is he not? Anyway, another show. Early, or in general, Georgia State has had the following issues. They've had issues on defense versus the spread option, which is what Coastal Carolina runs. Oddly enough, it's what KSU runs too. It's a little different formation, a little different form of it. But GSU also has issues with mobile quarterbacks. Coastal Carolina employs two quarterbacks, and both can do different things and have different packages. They both can throw, they both can run, they both can hand off, and also passes to the flats. Yep. The Panthers have a lot in common with the Atlanta Falcons as far as that. But I also felt like the fourth factor that really had a lot to do with the way we played was the humidity. And the thing with humidity is that long drives really affect the defense, and they did that early against our defense. They were able to get a lot of yards, but they were not able to score points. So that's a good thing. It kept us in this game really well. You know, we scored 14 in the first, 7 in the second. They scored 7 as well. You know, we had a 21-7 lead at halftime. Nobody scored in the third. We were able to add 2 field goals, which ended up – or no, not 2 field. We missed an extra point, actually, towards the end, and Coastal Carolina put up 14, but they were only a touchdown away from having us beat. I'm glad we were able to hang on. Like I said, I had faith in our guys. I know you guys did as well. Some more things about the game. I'm going to kind of go quickly. Let's see. Yeah. So here's the thing about the spread option, and Kennesaw runs into this as well, and I'll get into that with Brandon a little later. But the thing with the spread option, it's the unofficial issue in quotations, is when you get to the red zone, it's kind of hard to spread out when you're compacted up in a 20-yard bunch. There's only so much room, so many places you can really spread out. Kind of less room to spread type thing. That's kind of what Coastal Carolina would run into. They'd have these great, you know, maybe 12-play drives. They would get them all the way to the 10-yard line, and they couldn't quite get that extra 10 yards. They couldn't quite get in there to score the touchdown, and they missed a couple field goals. So those kinds of things happen. But that was their problem early on. They missed the field goal on the first drive. Connor Manning looks very comfortable. He looked very sure of himself. I like the confidence he seemed to be playing with. It was almost an arrogance to a point, but I don't want people to attach a negative connotation to when I say arrogance. No, it was a, I'm going to make this throw, and you're not going to be able to defend it the way you want to. He really made their defense, the Coastal Carolina defense, adjust, and they were having issues adjusting to his play. And he was even able to run for a few, good sprints here and there, which also always helps. A lot of times people say a security blanket for a quarterback or his go-to option is typically his tight end. Well, when you have Ari Wertz, that's understandable. Except for on Saturday, Penny Hart was by far. Penny Hart was by far his favorite. Penny Hart actually had 8 catches for 132 yards and a touchdown. I'm going to start calling him either the universal key or the skeleton key, because he just seems to fit everywhere. He's the universal puzzle piece. You can put him in the slot. You can put him outside. You can have him run over the middle. You can actually have him out of the backfield. You can do pitches and jet sweeps and all kinds of such like that. And he's spectacular. Other people were able to get involved. Ari Wertz, as I just said, he had 4 catches for 92 yards. That's one of his best games of the year. Getting him involved only leads to great things. Glenn Smith with a handful of catches for some yardage. Tamir Jones gets in on the action. Kyler Neal got in on the action. Kyler Neal, I'm going to tell you, you may look at his stats sometimes. You may go, he had 6 carries for 7 yards. No, but those are tough 7 yards. He's the bulldozer. When it's third and short, you call Kyler Neal. When you need a big-time play out of the backfield on short yardage, he's still the guy. He's the go-to. Penny and Glenn Smith and all those guys. Yeah, and DeMarcus Kirk even was able to hammer out some yards. Connor with the ones I talked about. Everybody on this team has a role, and everybody, when they execute their role, this team does fantastic. And that's exactly what they did here. I felt like the offense was rolling pretty well. They were able to make sure the defense wasn't on the field for too long. I do believe, and it's not a conditioning thing. It's the whole thing. You can, let's say you live around the Atlanta area. For the most part, the Atlanta area, there's some hills here and there, but it's pretty standard as far as if you ran the streets. If you ran around if you ran around the Georgia State campus, or the Kennesaw campus for that matter, if you just ran laps around it, okay, you're going to get some hills here and there. We do have a little bit of humidity, and we do have the smog and such like that coming from being in the metro area of Atlanta. But for the most part, unless the pollen count's really high, you're not going to have a lot of issues if you run pretty regularly. Now, if I were to take you to, the mountaintops of Colorado, where the air is so much thinner, oh yeah, you're going to have all kinds of problems. It's going to be like an elephant on your chest just walking up and down the street. This is basically what this humidity was doing. It was really affecting the defense. I'm sure there were a lot of cramps and such, but I didn't see any major injuries. I didn't hear of any major injuries, so everything seemed to go well. That's what really affected our defense. It wasn't being out there for 80 plays like they typically have been in other games. We weren't able to execute right. Offense did a good balance, in my opinion. In fact, can we get the numbers there? Let's see. Here we go. For us, total offensive plays were at 70, which means we kept their defense on the field for 70 plays. That's part of how you beat them. You wear them out and really spread them out like we did. They had 58, which means our defense was only on the field for 58 plays. That is almost the polar opposite of what it has been in the past until here recently. So definite plus, definite upgrade on that. What else was I going to tell you guys? Oh, I was talking about Connor looking comfortable. I think his final total, what was he, 17? He was 18. 18 for 30. He only threw the one interception. That's fine. 273 yards. He's going to average right at that. This is right on par with his numbers. And he had the lone touchdown to Penny Hart. Those numbers are going to go up. He's going to end up with a handful more than that. Brandon Wright was able to nail down some pretty good punts. Oliver Holdenson was able to nail down a few as well. Here it is. Barry Brown, 5 kickoffs, 319 total yards. That is a 63.8 average. That is smoking it. So good job, Barry, on that. And Glenn Smith with 114 total. All-purpose yards. Some other things I wanted to go over real quickly. I wanted to go over a shout-out to Martarius Allen and James Traylor, who each had a sack apiece. And probably about half our defense that had tackles for a loss. The lone sack we gave up was to, don't remember the kid's first name, but Williamson for them. That he was able to break through. He went right in on Connor and, lived to fight another day. We were able to pretty much stifle their run game. I believe they only had a little over 100 yards among the 6 or 8 people that ran. Tyler Keene, the pretty much only quarterback that passed for them, 18 for 26 for 239. He had 3 touchdowns. He was also sacked twice. I was real proud over all of our kids. I really was. I was real proud. I felt like we did a really good job of executing. Now, we won our opening game in our conference. We are now 2-2. Sorry, I was thinking about 6 things there. But we're now 2-2. We are sitting pretty good. Actually, can we get the stat guy? Can we get the standings real quick? I had them. Ah, there we go. Standings as of right now. In the Sun Belt, you got Troy leading at 4-1 overall. They are 1-0 in the conference. App State, 2-0 in the conference, but they are 3-2 overall. University of Louisiana Monroe is who we will talk about here in a minute because that's who we got this weekend. They are 3-0 in the conference, and they are 3-2 overall. And then you get to us. Georgia State and Arkansas State both tied at 2-2 overall, 1-0 in the conference, followed by Idaho, Louisiana, South Alabama. The one that surprises me the most is Georgia Southern, who is 0-1 in the conference, but the most surprising thing is they're 0-4 on the season. Wow, right? 0-4 on the season. I mean, just incredible. Just insanely incredible. But let's see. New Mexico State, Coastal Carolina, and Texas State all 0-2 in the division. So, what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that, we have a game against Troy, and we get ULM this week. I think the Troy game is right after that. And we have App State a couple weeks after that. So I think we play Arkansas State, if I'm not mistaken. All the teams above us we have a game against. Yeah, we got you on the road this week. Get Troy next week. The following week, South Alabama, Georgia Southern, get Texas. Okay, we don't play Arkansas State, but we'll play Texas State. We do play App State at the end of November and then Idaho. So, you know, plenty of opportunities. Plenty of opportunities to get with it and really make an impact here. But, you know, like I said, we're able to pick up the victory 27-21. Now I want to, in the last 8 or 9 minutes or so of the Georgia State portion, I want to talk a little bit about the UL Monroe matchup. UL Monroe, I believe they are the Warhawks, won the two previous meetings, including a 37-23 victory last year at the Dome. You know, they have Thomas Kufi. Hope I'm saying that right. He rushed for 201 yards and had 5 touchdowns. He was Bo Jackson on Tech Bowl. He was almost uncoverable. It was amazing. As good as our defense was last year, couldn't find this guy. Actually, also last year, if you guys remember, Connor Manning passed for a career high of 422 yards, and we actually had 3 100-yard receivers for the only time in school history. Robert Davis had 114, Glenn Smith had 123, and Juwan Nobles ended up with 103. And then the Warhawks also won in 2013, 38-10. That game was in Monroe. But, you know, so some news and notes, too, on it. We've been really good on third down. Right now, Georgia State leads the Sun Belt in third down conversion percentage, both on offense, 50.8, which is seventh overall, and on defense, 30.6. That's incredible, right? Absolutely incredible. Let's see if I can get some quick stats for you guys. Maybe. Stat guy is apparently sending them to me as we speak. So now that we have a little bit of dead silence on the show, get you guys entertained here. You know, that's something we got to look at real quick. We go back to that right there. There we go. All right, there he is, Kyler Neal. Let me just say something about the play of Gabe Mobley. Gabe Mobley, quite possibly one of the best offensive linemen. He should be all-conference, but he's not. Quite possibly not only one of the best centers, but probably one of the best offensive linemen literally in the conference, possibly, you know, top 10 in college. Made 24 starts at center. Now the last two games, he's been at right guard. Last three games. Yeah, three games, actually. And you know what? I haven't seen anybody come through that side. So, incredible. Gabe, you are a scholar and a citizen and a gentleman. So, keep doing what you're doing. No, I'm just on watch. I know that Kyler Neal, he came in with 9 rushing touchdowns, and he came in this season with 959 total rushing yards. I think he can get to 1,000. I think it'd be really nice if he did. Let's see how close he is. Wow. He's 9 yards short. He needs 9 yards. So, Kyler, if you listen, and I know you probably do, I don't want to put pressure on you, but 9 yards, bud. You need 9 yards. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Coach may get mad at me for even suggesting that. But if it's part of the game plan and it's part of the will, than it is. Let's look at UL Monroe. There they are. UL Monroe, here's how their season has went. They actually got to play Memphis. Remember, ours got canceled. They played Memphis where they lost 37-29. That's only 8 points. That's not bad. I think their Florida State game got moved. I don't think that one played. I know they lost to Southern Mississippi 28-17. They were able to beat Louisiana, what used to be known as UL Lafayette. Now they're just Louisiana, I believe. They won that one 56-50 in the second overtime. If you didn't get to see that game, definitely go find that one. And they were able to beat Coastal Carolina 51-43. And then, of course, they went down to Texas State and beat them 45-27 before they get us at 5 p.m. Eastern. They're an incredible team. Incredible team. So, you know, I don't know how – probably what's going to happen is our defense is going to try to smother their run game and force them to pass to beat us. And, you know, put it all in the hands of their quarterback and just see what we think he can do. I think that's our best plan on defense. Here's my four keys to victory, because there's four quarters in a game of football. So my four keys. Stifle the run game, which will cause them to have to pass to beat us. I think we need to win the special teams battle. I think that may be just a go ahead and concrete that bad boy in. I think that one's going to be throughout the rest of the year. And also limit mistakes, which is also turnovers, you know. Let's just keep that on there. We've done a good job here lately. Knock on some sort of wood. You guys can hear me knocking. And I think lastly, It's gonna be on the shoulders of Connor Manning to play a complete game. Wasn't perfect, but it was a really good, solid performance. And if he plays another solid game like he did this past weekend, I don't see why we can't win this. So to recap, my four keys for a Georgia State victory this weekend against the University of Louisiana Monroe Warhawks. Pretty cool name and pretty cool. It's not a Panther, but, you know. We have to stifle the run game, which will cause them to have to pass to beat us. And I like our corners and safeties. I like our defensive backs over about anybody. We need to win the special teams battle. And that's not necessarily returning a kick for a kick or a punt for a touchdown, although that doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't hurt. It's just limiting the mistakes and being solid in your performances with special teams, which led to number three, limit mistakes and turnovers. We've been doing a good job the past couple games, only had a couple. Sure beats 4 and 5 that we had before in previous games. We're doing a lot better with those. And number four, it comes down to Connor staying consistent. If he has another game, just like he did last week and the game before, I don't see why we can't win. Not at all. Don't see why we can't win. But that's going to do it for the Panther version or the Panther side. We're going to flip it on over. We're going to flip it on over after the commercial break to our Owls coverage, where a little bit later in the program, I'll be joined by Brandon Joseph, as I said, and we will talk some KSU Owls. I'll talk some Owls, and then he'll join us and talk some Owls right here on the Game Plan. We'll be right back.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on The Game Plan. Jeremy the Impact York, thanks for rejoining us or staying with us. You know, we're going to talk about some KSU Owls. I'm going to get into my discussion and talk with them a little bit. And probably about halfway through, I believe, we'll be joined by our guest, Brandon Joseph, to finish it off. But for now, let's talk about those KSU Owls. Now, I was able to attend the game over the weekend. I know a lot of you guys got to see and meet me, and it was fantastic getting to meet you guys as well. You know, Texas Southern came out pretty motivated, it seemed like. And to start with, we thought this game was going to be a really tough battle, and a lot of times it was. But overall, when you win 48-3, you're able to get a lot of your backups, some snaps, and other things. Some quick stats as far as that. You had Chandler Burks, of course. He was 4-for-7 in passing for 74 yards. He was actually sacked once. He was scrambling at the time. It's either a tackle for a loss or a sack. It's either way, whatever they will call it. Daniel David came in. He threw two completions out of three passes for 64 yards. Receiving, we had Justin Sumter that had three catches for 92 yards. Man, I thought he was going to break one of them in. Man. Ezra Naylor had a catch. Xavier Harper and Shaquille Terry all had them as well. You got TJ Reed, who had just two rushes. He ended up having a touchdown. One, his longest was 79-yarder, and he gained 92 yards. Chandler Burke had 14 total rushes for 74 yards and three rushing touchdowns. Bronson Ricksteiner, able to get him a handful more snaps. And once again, like I said, this guy is an athlete, and so is Shaquille Terry, which I'll talk about in a second. But Bronson had five carries for 34 yards, and he had a 22-yarder that was I'm surprised the guy stepped in front of him. He didn't look like he wanted to tackle him. Then you got the ever-nifty Shaquille Terry. I don't know why I keep wanting to call you Shaquille Thompson. It's not your name. But Shaquille Terry, who had a couple carries for 30 yards in a solid effort. But while we're talking about Shaquille Terry, I know Shaquille will enjoy this because I will have to find a couple of his comments from the press conference. Trust me, you guys are going to enjoy it. You guys are definitely going to enjoy what he had to say about it. But he was able to return a kickoff for 97 yards and the touchdown. And in all honesty, it didn't look like anybody was going to touch him, and I don't think they did. And the only person that did touch him may have been a teammate by the time he got to the goal line, because he was straight gone. The middle cut to the right, which was right in front of us on the near sideline, right past all of his teammates and coaches and family and friends alike. He just hammered it all the way. It was fantastic. Fantastic. Some of the other big play, the defense was just eating people alive. Bryson Armstrong, there's a quote from the coach. I'm going to nail these down for next week, even though they'll be from this previous press conference. But I'm going to play some of these for you guys next week. But Bryson Armstrong, coach said they were doing some kind of media prep stuff and, you know, preparing these guys for talking to people like myself and the rest of us in the media. And They were asking football players, the athletes, student athletes, what was one of your most memorable plays here at Kennesaw? And he said about 2/3 of them said, when I was standing next to Bryson and he did this, and I was, he goes, oh, when Bryson tipped the ball in the air and I made a tackle so he could run it back further. And it just, there was so many plays that revolved around Bryson Armstrong that it was just incredible. But speaking of Bryson Armstrong, he had a huge sack. He ended up having 10 total tackles, 8 of them by himself, 2 with a little help from his friends. We all get by with a little help from our friends, right? Jace White had a big tackle day as well. He had 7. Brent Wimberly had 7 as well. Izzy Sam was in on a bunch. He also had a sack. This defense was fun. They were very swarming, I think was the word I like to use. And they, I like it. They rough and tumble, did their job, kept only three points were the only thing that was scored against them. I mean, how in the world can you beat that? Makes no sense, does it? Makes no sense at all. Now, of course, that moves them to 4-1, and they are doing quite well in the Big South. As Stat Guy is trying to pull this up, so it's some kinks out on this particular show. Hope you guys are enjoying it. I'm not boring you guys to tears. Here we go. As we are slowly bringing this up. Now, your standings for the Big South Conference. You've got Monmouth. Let me say it the other way. Monmouth, who is 5-1 overall. Kennesaw State is 4-1 in second place. Liberty is 3-2. We will talk about them in a minute. Presbyterian is 3-3. Charleston Southern is 2-3. And Gardner Webb is 1-4. Now, the good thing is nobody's played a conference game. Also, the good thing is our next handful of games, and I think the rest of them, are all conference games. We got Liberty this week. We got Gardner Webb next week. Presbyterian, Montana State thrown in there, Charleston Southern, Monmouth, finish it out. It's going to be a lot of fun there. Definitely going to be a lot of fun. Some things about the matchup. I know you guys are interested to hear about the matchup. So, Kennesaw State currently riding a 4-game winning streak. It'll be this Saturday night. It's first Big South Conference game at Williams Stadium. It'll be on ESPN3. The same way I told you, you can watch Georgia State games. You can also watch this Kennesaw game and a handful of other ones. Or you can hear it on ESPN Radio 1230 and 106.3 The Fan 2. Kickoff is supposed to be right around 6. The Owls are looking to win their conference opener for only the second time in the program's 3 seasons. That's not bad to win 2 out of 3. Of course, Kennesaw was picked as a co-favorite in the Big South preseason poll, and the Flames are currently not eligible for preseason poll due to the transition to FBS. They actually defeated, well, you guys know they defeated Texas Southern 48-3, which extended it to 4 games, ties the program's longest winning streak. They had 2 4-game streaks last season. KSU leads Saturday's game, leading the Big Conference, the Big South Conference in scoring at 18.6. Total defense, 288.8 yards per game. Rushing defense, 64 yards a game. And turnover margin, +8. That means we cause 8 more turnovers than we actually commit ourselves. That's a phenomenal number. The Owls are actually the nation's 6th best team against the run. Kennesaw State has also forced 15 takeaways or turnovers this season, third most takeaways in FCS, and they're tied for second with 11 interceptions. That means four fumbles, 11 interceptions. The Owls also own a 44-point margin, that's 54-10, in points off turnover scoring drives through the first five games. It's not crazy. How about if I tell you that junior running back Trey Chivers has scored a touchdown in four consecutive games? Conveniently, they've all won those games. That's an interesting stat, right? We need to get Trey in very quickly, and you know, that way we'll know we're going to win. He ran rushing scores against Tennessee Tech, Alabama State, and Texas Southern. He had a 26-yard reception for a touchdown against North Greenville. They are 7-0 when Chivers scores a touchdown. Wow. Right? Wow. That is incredible. 7-0 when Trey Chivers finds the end zone. That's why I said we should make sure he finds the end zone as soon as possible. Right? And let's see, what was the last? Here we go. Redshirt freshman. You guys know about Chandler Burke. Redshirt freshman linebacker Bryson Armstrong recorded his third interception of the season last Saturday. Him and Keon Roman have accounted for 7 of the team's 11 interceptions and ranked 12th and 3rd, respectively, in the nation in interceptions per game. Armstrong also leads the team in tackles with 47, sacks with 6, pass breakups with 3, fumble recoveries with 2. He has one of the team's 2 block kicks this season, and he also now leads the Owls in number of mentions on the new show Game Plan. Couldn't help myself but give myself a plug there. But I see that our guest is on the line, and I want to bring him straight on because he's going to make this show a lot better. From 680 The Fan, you might hear him as well on 1230 The Fan or 106.3 FM The Fan 2, and also KSU Radio Network. He is Brandon Joseph. How you doing, Brandon?
I'm good. I don't know if I'll make the show any better, though. That's a lot of high billing.
As many kinks that always go through the shows here at Impact Media, I'm sure you'll make it much better than it would have been anyway. We always try to bring on people that make an impact and people that are smarter than us so that we all learn something. So there you go.
I appreciate you having me on, though.
So you've been able to call a handful of these games, actually. And I think for now, was it the last game? That was the last game you're going to call for a little while?
Yeah. So I do the non-conference radio games, and then once they get in the Big South play, Tuton Reyes, who does the TV on Peachtree TV, he'll move back over to radio. So I'm relegated to reporter duty, but it was an honor to call those 3 games with those guys, and we had fun doing them.
Oh, yeah, and you did a fantastic job. Like I said, I'm not just saying that because you're a friend of the show and a friend of mine, but yeah, you did a fantastic job with that. It's hard. People don't realize how hard it is to be in the media, and especially hard to be on a live broadcast.
Yeah, it's tougher than people think. And for me, I mean, I'm filling in for a guy who played in the NFL. Tuton Reyes played at Ole Miss, went on to play in the NFL. And for me, I was a high school football washout. I mean, I got hit by Cameron Hayward one time and walked off the field never to play football again. So what I just try to do is just give perspective and let people know why things are happening. I can't give the same level of insight somebody like Tuton Reyes can playing in the pros, playing in college, major D1 football. But what I can do is through my knowledge of football, try to break down why things are happening. So when people watch the game, they come away just a little more informed.
Exactly. That's the point of us in the media. It's not just to make up things and try to push agendas like some people try to do. That's a whole different show and a different thing. Now, especially on the collegiate level, what people like myself and yourself do is we try to bring the experience to you, whether you're there live and listening to us or whether you couldn't be live and you're reading something. We're even posting on Twitter. We're trying to bring that experience to you and explain things that you may not understand.
Yeah, there's 3 major D1 schools in the metro Atlanta, within an hour's drive, considering UGA, Tech, Georgia State. It's hard to follow all that. So when you get into Kennesaw and all these other schools in today's day and age, you're not able to follow it as you would some of these top-level tier programs, and that's okay. That's why we come in. That's why we try to provide that service. So you have a real life. There are a lot of things on your sports plate also. So guys like us, we just try to help break it down, help give you a little bit of inside knowledge.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you did get to call that game against Texas Southern, which, you know, like I told people, a lot of times on the field, it was actually a little closer than the scoreboard may say. But what was your overall take from the big 48-3 win over Texas Southern?
Well, from the last drive of the North Greenville game that they went on to win 38-34 throughout that whole Texas Southern game, yeah, it was closer than the scoreboard said, because at times Texas Southern did a great job on both fronts on the line of, you know, defensively getting pressure against Kennesaw's offensive line and offensively standing strong against Kennesaw's very dynamic pass rush. But from that last drive from North Greenville throughout this whole game against Texas Southern, it was four quarters of Owls football plus one drive. And that's what we all said looking back at that final drive against North Greenville. Maybe that was the turning point for this team to play Kennesaw State Owls football. And I think that they did that for four quarters against Texas Southern.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Coach actually told us in the press conference, and I actually saw the same statement from him to start with. Their goal coming in, he didn't have a problem telling the game plan, for lack of a better word. He didn't mind saying that he wanted to really stop their run game and force them to beat him in the air. And he was pretty much able to do that. And every time the ball went in the air, it seemed like there was an owl somewhere to – swoop in and grab it.
Yeah, I heard you mention Bryson Armstrong. He's a very dynamic player, did a great job in coverage. And I think when Texas Southern looked at the tape, they thought, hey, if we spread it wide, we'll get Bryson Armstrong away from the line of scrimmage, force him to play coverage. And this kid is a redshirt freshman from Kell High School, and he plays really good football. And his teammates, I talked to Izzy Sam a couple of weeks ago about Bryson Armstrong. He says, one, he's not that fast, he's not that strong, but he somehow always winds up in the right area. He's one of the smartest football players that they have seen come through this program in only 3 years, but that's a real high testament.
Oh, yeah. I hate comparing collegiate athletes to pros, and I hate comparing pros in general, even to themselves. But for people who haven't really seen this kid play, you know, like you said, he has a knack for always being around the ball and always being there to make a play like a Troy Polamalu, but he plays linebacker and he's the size and can hit you and even rush as though he's a Clay Matthews or a Brian Urlacher or something. So you got this big kid who can intercept the ball, he can sack you, he can drop you in the backfield if you're trying to run. Not to mention, I mean, he can do, like, he's the Swiss Army knife for the defense.
Yeah, that's what they will say. Dominic DeLeer was the quarterback for Texas Southern throughout most of the game. And there were times throughout the game where he was looking across the defense to find Bryson Armstrong. That's a level of respect that's really – you don't see a lot, especially towards a redshirt freshman playing in only, what, five collegiate games?
Right. Yeah, you could definitely tell when that quarterback would come to the line – he wasn't looking for the Mike linebacker. He was looking for Bryson going, all right, somebody get him, please.
Yeah, and that's insane to think that anybody being five games in, yeah, he had a year of redshirt practice, but he has that grasp of football, that grasp of playing high-level football that another quarterback has to identify, not, as you said, not the Mike, the number 42, because he was coming off the edge and they were stunt inside. And that's also a testament to Jace White, who plays – interchangeable with Bryson Armstrong in terms of safety linebacker. There were times where Jace White would have to fill in coverage when they really want to send pressure with Bryson Armstrong, and Jace White had to play that position very well to fill the gaps and the voids left by Bryson Armstrong for them to be able to do that. So it is totally a team effort, especially in that second and third level with those linebackers and in that secondary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we could talk about this defense for a long time, because I that's the good thing about talking about Georgia State and then talking about Kennesaw State is I really like both defenses. They do two completely different things the same way the offenses do, but they're exciting to watch. But I want to move over to talk a little bit of offense as we're joined by Brandon Joseph from 1230 and 106.3 The Fan 2 and KSU Radio Network, and and probably a lot of other things that I just don't have written down on the paper for some reason. But,
Jack of all trades, master of none of them.
Exactly. I'm right there with you on that one. Maybe that's why we get along so well. Obviously, this offense, the key to the ignition, the thing that starts this thing going is obviously Chandler Burks. But at least in the last couple games, I've noticed it, this may have been happening all season too, and I just have noticed it. But I seem to notice that even when Chandler takes a breather here and there, or if they get up big enough that they're able to put Daniel David in, he can actually run this pretty fluidly too, just not quite as good as Chandler.
Yeah, and Daniel David, just think about where this kid has come from. He went to Mill Creek High School, played under Shannon Jarvis, which is relatively a pro-style set. Then he goes to mm-hmm. App State, plays behind Taylor Lamb, who was one of the most statistically-wise, one of the best passers in Georgia State high school history in terms of just looking at his numbers. He comes to Kennesaw
right.
State, and what does he do? He learns this Kennesaw spread option attack within games. That was the thing. Daniel David played as soon as he was eligible to play in, what, his second game, and Coach Bohannon just sings the praises of this kid. He loves this kid, and with Chandler Burks being his biggest cheerleader, Daniel David's always in a great position because when QB1 is such a big fan of QB2 and all of the coaches and all the other players, they want him to be successful in this offense, so they're more than willing to help him learn the offense and pick it up. He still doesn't know the little ins and outs of running a spread option, but as he picks it up, as he grows into that, he is such a dynamic force with his running ability, his passing ability. He's 6'1", 214. That's the size of most running backs at this level, and he can throw too. That's just, he's so dynamic, and that's why they love him.
See, I'm glad you mentioned that about App State and playing behind Lamb, because Georgia State playing against App State, I actually remember I've seen Daniel play before, and I couldn't place where I knew where it was, but it was App State. So, but you know, looking at the running backs and the receivers, it, especially in this kind of, anytime you play a spread option or a triple option like they do at Tech or any of these options like this, a lot of times it's hard to convince the receiver to block most of the time, because that's what they're ended up doing unless you do jet sweeps and end arounds and stuff like that. But I mean, when you look at Justin Sumter and Ezra Naylor and Xavier Harper and obviously Shaquille Terry coming out of the backfield even, these guys aren't afraid to lay a block, and they aren't afraid that when their number is called, they're there to catch it.
Yeah, we turned Justin Sumter into an adjective because defensive backs get Sumtered with his ability to go up and high point the football. He is amazing. I love throwing the fade down in the end zone to Justin Sumter. But, yeah, Justin Sumter, Xavier Harper, Ezra Naylor, they do it all. They are willing to block. They love blocking. And Matt Frank told me in the pregame show that this past Saturday that that's infectious for the offensive line because, yeah, the offensive line has finished their blocks and the ball goes upfield. But when you're watching your receivers block, when you're watching other skill position blocks, and that's also a testament to Chandler Burke. Chandler Burke has had some great blocks that are 10, 15 yards down the field because after he hands the ball up, he's following the play also. That causes those offensive linemen to get up and chase the play and to go and get second and third level blocks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's exciting to watch. It's, you know, just like I said, the way you got Georgia Tech this year, who's really got theirs humming and they got a good quarterback. It's more exciting to me to watch the way Kennesaw plays the spread option. They're able to get everybody involved to where if you're the opposing defense or even the opposing coach, you're looking like, I don't know which one to key in on. It could be any of these 11 could be the major part of the game plan.
Yeah, when you have somebody like Justin Sumter, Xavier Harper, and then the backfield, Darnell Holland, Trey Shivers, Shaq Terry, Jake McKenzie, who came in as a quarterback and has transitioned
yeah.
to that B-back, that's right behind Chandler Burks. And Chandler Burks himself is a very accomplished runner, and he loves contact. He loves running the football. You take a look at Kennesaw State's offense, and, yeah, it's difficult to game plan for a spread option attack, but that's why Coach Bohannon calls this the Kennesaw option, because he loves the ability of being able to throw the ball. And when you have guys like Sumter that you can throw the ball short and it all of a sudden becomes big game, that's a very versatile asset to have. And the key, also looking moving forward, is going to be Bronson Rechsteiner. This kid
mm-hmm.
was a linebacker last year from Etowah High School if the last name sounds familiar, he is the son of Rick Steiner, the former WCW wrestler, the nephew of Scott Steiner. This kid is just a man beast, and in five games of being a running back, he just wowed the guys. Now, he does need to work on ball control. He does need to work on blocking assignments. He'll be the first to tell you that. But the ability of him, he broke off a 20-yard touchdown run 2 weeks ago against North Greenville, but he can catch, he can run, he loves contact. That's another weapon that as he gets more comfortable, as they move into conference play, that Coach Bohannon is going to have in his back pocket.
Well, and that's something you see, you know, I've talked about him anyway, not just because I've actually met his dad and uncle a handful of times. They are fantastic people, some of the nicest people I ever met in
the
wrestling
business. They're intimidating, too.
Oh, they definitely can be, but especially Uncle Scott. But he could be nice if you catch him the right way. But it's a testament to this, to not only the Kennesaw system and culture, but it's you know, Coach Brian Bohannon and his coaching staff, that when you have an athlete like Bronson and you have some of these other athletes, you know, like you said, the running back, I just forgot his name now. Yeah, when you come in at one position, and you go, man, we're really deep there, but you're so athletic and you're such just a great just overall player. I got to get you some snaps somewhere. So you go, let me try you here. Sometimes you get moved around three or four times. That's the reason why sometimes on the next level you see that a wide receiver used to be a quarterback, or a quarterback used to be a defensive back, or it's just a linebacker could have been a offensive lineman. You get them moved around like this, and that, like I said, it's just a testament to what Coach Bohannon's doing here, that he's not only able to find other places for these guys to play, but it works and works well.
Yeah, your position is only your position for right now, and that's what Coach Bohannon's philosophy is. The term athlete is something that people see in recruiting things and like, well, what really is an athlete? Well, Coach Bohannon has really identified what an athlete is. It's a guy who may start out as a linebacker, then end up being a running back. A guy who may start out as QB number three, but be back number one. That's athlete.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And another thing that they do well at Kennesaw, I wanted to hit on it real quickly. They're special teams, because I look across college and a lot of people are struggling. Even my favorite team all the way from since I was a kid, the Michigan Wolverines, they have issues on special teams. But you look at Kennesaw and I'm not seeing a lot of chinks in the armor there either. It makes this just one solid group. All three phases seem to know what they're doing and execute it.
Yeah, Shaq Terry, 97-yard kickoff return. He's the record holder for longest play in Kennesaw State history.
And the only kick return,
you know,
for a touchdown.
Always been there. Yeah, he had the return for the touchdown to start the second half, I believe. It hasn't always been there for Kennesaw. They're just now finding out the fine points of actually covering. Coach Bohannon is a big testament of what a lot of coaches are. Special teams, especially kick returns, punt returns, coverage, in all phases are a test of manhood. And he challenges their manhood on those plays by saying, hey, if you give up a big return, that's an indictment of how much you want to be here, how much you love football, and what kind of man you are. And players really respond and rise to that challenge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you will be covering the game this weekend against Liberty, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, what do you know about Liberty, and what should we look forward to in that matchup?
Well, they have a quarterback, Buckshot Calvert. His real government name is Steven, but he goes by Buckshot somehow, some way. They really like to throw the ball out there. Turner Gill, he knows championships, a national championship quarterback back in his day at Nebraska, and that's what he has brought to Liberty. He's brought them a sense that, hey, you can be big time. It doesn't matter when or where. What's interesting about this Liberty team is they beat Baylor week one, and they had two really disappointing losses to Jacksonville State and St. Francis of Pennsylvania 2 weeks ago. They just come off a bye. This is their homecoming game against Kennesaw. This is a rivalry game. Not a lot of people will see that or realize that. Yes, this is Liberty's last season in the Big South before they make their transition to FBS Independent. But Turner Gill has said, and he said it to me 3 years ago before Kennesaw State played their first game, he looked at me and said, I don't like the fact that Kennesaw State has a football team. When I asked him why, he said, I recruit Metro Atlanta. That's where I get a lot of my kids from. And to have a school like Kennesaw State there and to have a coach like Brian Bohannon who has ties to that area, it's not good for me. So this is a game that Turner Gill holds in high regard because he needs to beat Kennesaw to be able to sit in these kids' home in Metro Atlanta and say, hey, I beat Kennesaw. Come to Liberty. Don't stay at home and go to Kennesaw State.
And I'll be the first to say any high school athlete, especially because, you know, parents ask us all the time when they find out we're in the media, I'll be the first to say, hey, college is about education, about character, and about opportunity. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you where you should go to school. If you ask my opinion, I will always side towards one of these two schools. Well, if you throw in Michigan, one of those three schools. But, yeah, it's definitely a recruiting battle. And I would agree. Ever since the Georgia State and Kennesaw State programs have popped up, it has put a real damper on a lot of the bigger schools that used to come to Georgia and, you know, handpick the guys and convince them not to be Bulldogs or not to be Eagles or not to be Yellow Jackets and come out of state to play with them. So that's for one why I like that these two schools are doing what they're doing.
Yeah, and Gus Malzahn, Auburn's head coach, has come down and said, hey, I have a tough time sitting in these kids' homes, and when their parents look at me and say, yeah, you have a good school, but let's talk football, my son looks like he's going to be a backup for you guys at Auburn. Why should I send him there rather than sending him to a Georgia State, to a Kennesaw State, where he can play and be noticed and, you know, still have that same opportunity, but he's actually on the field there. And that's a tough question for people to answer because, you know, Gus Malzahn used to have it very easy coming into Atlanta. You know, either you were going to be a Dog, you were going to be a Jacket, or if you wanted to play major D1 football, you had to go to Auburn. Well, now everybody's games are on TV. You know,
right. Everybody
has exposure with Twitter. It's a tougher sell to go in these homes and say, your son may be a backup for me when he has options to be a starter somewhere else and get just as much notoriety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we came through, you know, obviously I'm a little older than you are, but as we come through college or as we were growing up, it was all about, they would say, oh, you needed to, if you really want to be something big in the world, you need to go to the bigger schools. And then it become, well, now you can go to the smaller schools, but you really got to have the 4.2 or something. You got to be so over the top. Well, now education is almost even across the board. If you want to go specialize into certain things, that's one thing. But everything is evened out so much, you know, parity in colleges are the same way as it is on a field somewhere or in a court, in a gym. So the opportunity is there. And I'm glad that a lot of these kids not only have other options in the school, but that we get to do things like cover them and talk about them.
Yeah, and you take a look at just keeping in a football sense, and you're absolutely right about the educational sense. You can get a great education. You can enjoy the college lifestyle just about anywhere. But in a football sense, Joe Flacco, Delaware, Carson Wentz, he was from Dakota. You take a look at the Wyoming quarterback that people are looking at, could be the potential number one pick in the draft. If you are good and you have talent, showcase that talent. It doesn't always have to be, you know what, I just have an opportunity to go to a major D1 school. I may not play, but I'm there. No, go from that, a place that's good for your education and good for what you want to do for your career path.
Oh, exactly. We could go all up and down the NFL, I mean, you know, some of the prime examples of Jerry Rice went to like, what, Southern Mississippi or something like that. You know, it's all about
Valley
opportunity.
City.
There you go. See, I knew you'd know it and I knew I didn't know it. So, but yeah, we could go up and down
Delta,
about those kinds.
Man.
Say it again.
The Deltas, the Mississippi Valley State Deltas.
Yep. See, I'm going to get crap for not knowing that too. I can already see the tweets lighting up. But so overall, What I like to do, I used to do three, but I realized that, you know, there are four quarters in football. I already did them for Georgia State, but between myself and yourself, Brandon, we will spitball real quick and come up with the four keys to the game on how the Owls are going to be able to beat Liberty, and I do believe they're going to beat Liberty, and that's not just because I talk about them on the show. Number one, I'm gonna kind of use one that I did on Georgia State, but at the same time, Kennesaw State needs to do it too. But they're going to do the polar opposite. Instead of stifling the run game, I think since this quarterback, what'd you say his name was?
Steven Buckshot Calvert.
Buckshot, yeah. If Buckshot wants to throw the ball, then I think we need to force him to not do that. We need to maybe let Bryson introduce himself to him. You know, that can be after a sack, of course. But, you know, I think we need to do pressure early and make sure he can't get the ball out of his hand quick enough to where they have to start trying to rely on running the ball just to get anything on Kennesaw. And then what would you say maybe number two could be?
Offensively, you need to make them respect the fact that you can pass the ball. Turner Gill knows the option very well. He played with it at Nebraska. Kennesaw's option has the ability to throw the ball. So it may be a play action early, but you need to get the ball in the air to Justin Sumter, to Xavier Harper early in the game. Get those guys away from the line of scrimmage in terms of the defensive backs and make them have to play off those guys. That gives you more opportunity to get to the corner and pick up yards that way, and that's how Kennesaw has picked up a bulk of their yards.
I think that's a good one as well. For the third one, I think a lot of these are going to be common sense, but you still need to execute them. This one to me is they're going to be keying in on Bryson Armstrong, and they're going to know, you know, it's just like when you play the Houston Texans up until recently, you would say, hey, where's JJ at? Okay, there's JJ Watt. I need to make sure I know where he's at. Well, if they're going to key in and try to keep an eye on Bryson, then number three to me is just going to be up to the next guy up, so to say, whether that's Jace White, whether that's Brent Wimberly, whether I think Izzy Sam is actually going to be one of the huge spots. He might take over the Bryson for the game. But if they're going to key in on one guy and try to stifle Bryson, I think it's up to Jason, Izzy, and some of the rest of the guys to be the ones that make the big plays.
No, you're absolutely right with that. And fourth for me is the penalties. This team is averaging 76 yards in penalty yardage a game. You do not need to shoot yourself in the foot going up against a really tough team that has something to prove and want to stay unbeaten against Kennesaw State. Coach Bohannon, he called them stupid penalties flat out in his press conference. These 15-yard
yep.
penalties for late hits, unsportsmanlike conduct. And he puts the onus on the team leadership. I'm of the belief that if you really have, you know, a player-led team, then when a player does commit these fouls, when Coach Bohannon gets over to him, it should be the nice guy because you've heard it worse from your teammates, and that's what they need to do. They all need to hold each other accountable to say, hey, today, no stupid penalties, no unfortunate penalties. The only penalties we commit and they're going to happen are going to be effort penalties, and that's because, hey, maybe we over-pursued, maybe we got a hold, but even those have to be at a minimum. You cannot have 76 yards of penalty yardage against you in this game and think you're going to win it.
I absolutely agree with that. I didn't realize that it was up to 76, but that is ridiculous. And I mean, the easiest way to look at that is like that would be like what, five personal fouls
you're giving away three quarters of the field of the game.
Yep. Which is going to lead to at least two scores most of the time. And that's something you got to work on. But to recap real quick, myself and Brandon Joseph from the KSU Radio Network, 1230 The Fan 2, 680 The Fan as well. He is a jack of all trades, as he said. Number one, we're going to stifle the pass and make them run because they want to pass, and we're going to make sure they can't do that. Number two, we're going to make them respect that we can pass the ball because we absolutely can, and it's going to happen. Number three, it's the next guy up on defense. If they're going to try to neutralize Bryson Armstrong, then we're going to show them that there's more than one guy on the field. There's 10 more that can make just as many plays, and there's at least probably 15 more on the bench that can do the same. And then last, we got to make sure we're not giving away penalty yardage because right now, as Brandon said, we're averaging 76 penalty yards per game that we are giving up, and that is ridiculous. So I think those four are very good. Those are things that absolutely make sense. And honestly, they did about 2.5 out of those four in the 48-3 win. So, you know, it could have been 65-3 had they done the other one and a half.
Yeah, coming off a win, you still have teachable moments, and that's as a coach, that's what they want. They want to have teachable moments coming off victories.
Well, Brandon, it has been fantastic having you on. We're obviously going to have you on a little bit later on throughout the year as well. Even though there's a handful of games on, there's all kinds of things that we didn't get a chance to talk about, but we definitely will. Anything you want to plug before you get out of here?
Kennesaw State versus Liberty will be on 1230 The Fan 2. 106.3 FM pregame is at 5:30, kickoff 6 o'clock. So if you can't be in front of the TV to watch the game, please, please, please dial us up on radio.
There you go. And, of course, you can follow Brandon at B Joseph Radio on Twitter. He's a great follow. More than likely, you will see him interacting with me. And I will go ahead and warn you that you should only take us about one-third seriously because we have a good time.
Oh, yeah. We have a good time on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. That's what Twitter's for, is to have fun. Facebook is there to be semi-serious and to connect with classmates, and there's some fun things there. But Twitter and Instagram are where everybody should have fun.
Yep.
Well, Brandon, it's been fantastic having you on. I look forward to hearing the call because I will not be able to make the trip to Liberty this weekend. But I will be listening along and watching along. And we will see you on later down the road. Make sure you have a great and safe evening. And as always, go Owls.
You too. Thank you, brother. And yeah, I'm always one call away. Love doing this with you, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's great having you on. But we'll see you on later down the road.
Thank you, brother. Bye.
And that was Brandon Joseph, as I said, from the KSU Radio Network from 12 and 106.3 The Fan 2. Does work for 680 The Fan as well. He is all over the place. Does a lot of other stuff as well. Great call on those. Fun to have on. I know you guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. But that's going to do it for the debut episode of Game Plan. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We're going to, you know, if you guys have suggestions on different things you guys would like us to do to improve the show, or if you want to go to the iTunes store, look up Impact Media, look up Game Plan, give us a rating and review. We would love to hear from you guys. We will start giving out some swag, actually, once we start to get some of those filtered in. I'm actually going to go check it as soon as we're done with this show. You know, hope you guys enjoyed the debut episode. We're going to have some more guests on. Let us know if there's a certain guest you'd like us to have on, a certain thing you'd like us to talk about. We're going to do our best to do that. But for everybody here at Impact Media and Game Plan, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks to Brandon Joseph for being on with us this evening. We'll see you guys next week. Go Panthers. Go Owls.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?